Got room for one more if you still want to go to Aspen.
Where did you find that?
Some kid back in town. Traded the van for it, straight up. I can get 70 miles to the gallon on this hog.
You know, Lloyd, just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. And totally redeem yourself!
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Events occur in real time.
Yes, much like this show will occur in real time. Welcome, everybody, to the 24 Redemption episode. It's a very special episode that we're doing separately from our regular show because it's so special.
Well, it's because it's Jack Bauer.
Yeah, Jack Bauer has returned. And my co-host with me will be Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Bill?
Greetings and salutations.
We've just seen 24 Redemption, the two-hour movie. More like an hour and 27 minutes.
You don't see it. You experience it.
You live it. It's all about learning and loving and messages. There's messages here in 24, right?
Deep messages. Messages that people can't quite interpret until they think about it for a long period of time.
That's right. We've spent a couple of days thinking about it. And this is all for our listeners. This is for the listeners who support Noir and Mulberry. This is our special gift to you. This and other gifts. But we hope you enjoy this one especially because we've got some things in store. First of all, 24 Redemption is the return of Jack Bauer, as we all know, the star of 24. And he's now living in Sangala, Africa. Africa, am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
But before we determine this, we show that there's an evil general or colonel. First of all, there's General Duma. Juma.
Yes.
General Juma. It sounds like a Star Wars character, doesn't it?
Zuma. I love that game.
And then there's DeMarco, his lieutenant or something. He's the guy in charge. And
yeah, the Don Cheadle-looking guy.
Yeah, basically, and he's got this lovely part in his hair. Don't you love that?
I like the part and the beret he wears later.
He's got like that Shannon Sharp-type shaved-in parting in his hair.
Yeah, flashback to 1990.
Yeah, so basically what the way it opens is he's got all these little kids with AK-47s, and he's teaching them how he will take them away from their mommies and daddies and teach them how to be real men.
But first he's getting them all hopped up on moonshine, African moonshine.
Yeah, and he gives this little kid this machete, and he's like, here, take it. Let's check this scene out when he encourages the kid to murder someone. It's really awesome.
You will learn to fight like men. Of that I have no doubt. This will make you strong, little soldiers.
Little soldiers.
This will make you free. Take it.
This guy reminds me of the 7-Up.
It will make you feel powerful, yes.
Your mothers and your fathers.
Very powerful.
They have made you weak. But General Juma.
General Juma.
He will make you strong.
I thought it was...
He will make you strong Jesus, so that you can take back the country from the government and the traitors that work for them. Like a cockroach. Yeah.
Cockroach?
I train you, cockroach. My little orkin man.
Work for the government and their white master. Yes.
You must squish the cockroach.
They have taken our land.
Who was this? Who was this poor guy they killed? Like some accountant or something?
Just a red shirt.
Must buy our freedom with the blood of this cockroach. You know what we do to cockroaches. Kill the cockroach.
We use a dead raid on them.
We do not kill the cockroach.
Oh my god. No, kill the cockroach. My god! He won't do it, he's just a kid, right? Oh. And he's dead.
But what's funny is he didn't even like bring it down on his head, he brought it down on his shoulder. So all they did was cut off his arm.
Yeah, and most likely the kid didn't have the strength to do much more than like a really bad wound. So the guy's like,
unless that was like a super duper Orkin machete.
He was probably, they probably in the director's cut, he hacks him like 10 times, like,
yeah, we have to check that out. It comes out on DVD, or came out on DVD this week.
And another thing, if you're ever like in front of a bunch of people surrounded, and they start chanting to kill the cockroach, you're pretty sure you're going to die, I would think.
Yeah, I think that's a given.
It's like, I was hoping I might get out of this, but the crowd's really into it. I think I'm screwed.
And these people are really excited about this.
They really want to see me beheaded, so...
I hope I can live up to their their expectations.
I hope my blood spurts out right when I'm killed, otherwise it won't be that great.
I hope they get a nice arterial mist.
Oh, but basically, Jack is working at a school with his best buddy named Carl Benton.
Benton, not Bigby. Okay.
Carl Benton, his buddy from... Do they say what kind of special forces?
The international half Scottish American special forces?
I was thinking maybe they were in the Foreign Legion.
Maybe.
They joined the Foreign Legion at one point.
That still exists.
And I was like, is Carl Benton, is he supposed to be... What nationality is he supposed to be? Are we supposed to know?
I have no idea. Robert Carlyle did a really terrible American accent with Scottish, like, sprinkled in.
The only thing I could think is the director was like, man, just talk like normal. It's just a TV show. He's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's no biggie. It's just 24.
So the show begins with the evil bureaucrat, Gil Bellows, driving up, and it shows how much he detests Africa because he wants the air conditioner turned up. Did you get that idea?
He's all sweaty, and he's got the big evil nerd glasses on.
Yeah, did you? I just know, like, they're trying to show us he hates Africa. Look at the way he detests the heat.
Well, who doesn't hate Africa? Africans hate Africa.
So he's going to the school because he needs to serve Jack Bauer a subpoena. Let's check this out. I wouldn't want to serve Jack Bauer a subpoena.
Jack, this is Frank Trammell. He's the ambassador's chief political officer.
I know who he is.
Says he left some messages for you to come see him at the embassy.
I got his messages.
How? You're in Africa in the bush.
What's going on?
Do you have an answering machine? Oh, anyway.
Senate subcommittee has questions about the illegal...
He has a Nextel phone with excellent reception.
I have a subpoena requesting you to appear, and it's way past due. So consider yourself served.
I don't think so. Olive grabs his wrist.
You've been served.
I have not been served.
Otherwise, I'd help him unload the truck. Excuse me.
Failure to comply to a subpoena is a federal offense, Mr. Bauer. You are bound by law to respond.
Give them
federal offenses. I eat those for breakfast.
Get me.
I just love how he grabs his wrist so he can't serve him the subpoena. Fine, I'll just drop it at your feet, Jack. So basically, they've determined that Carl Benton, or no, not Carl Benton, Gil Bellows is an a-hole. Am I right?
Yeah. He's the necessary evil.
So I love how... And Jack, they're determined he does not want to go back to the U.S. He just wants to live there and live the quiet warrior life, kind of like John Rambo, you know?
Or, that's who he is at heart.
Or kind of like Mad Max, he's always trying to wander in the wasteland and just live his life. Or
He can't get more of a wasteland than Africa.
And they can never get away, can they? These stories, they have to come back and...
It always pulls them back in.
There's what I think is funny in this movie, or in this TV movie, Jack walks away with his backpack twice, and he only gets like 10 feet before he has to run back.
Someone comes running after him. Jack,
wait, it's not time for you to do the lonely man walk yet. Come back. He's like,
I think he'd go, shit, I was just leaving. Forget it. No.
They pull me back in.
I'm not saving you again.
Okay, cut to the U.S. A new female president has been elected. Who's this president elect? Taylor. And was this guy her husband or just some lonely man that was with her the whole time?
I don't think they ever specified it.
He's just kind of her.
I guess we could assume he's her husband.
Yeah, that's what I assume. But I don't know. And that actor, I know I've seen in a million things. The guy who played her, either her husband or her buddy. But she's going to be... She's going to be sworn in on this day. It's the inauguration, and she goes to visit the evil powers booth president. And I don't know about you, but whenever it cut to her storyline, I was like, I'm going to go make a sandwich.
Yeah, really.
It's just like, come on.
Here we go with Acne Scar Man. And
it's like, isn't this the But I Digress 24 whenever it cuts to this kind of stuff?
It really is. That they should realize that it's all about Jack. We don't care about the backstory.
But I get, this whole thing is like a commercial leading up to season 7, I guess, or day 7, I believe.
Yeah.
But the best part is we know that John Voight has been cast in the show, and they've got to show a scene where it introduces his character. And it turns out, whatever kind of evil man he is, he's supplying the evil General Juma with his weapons and stuff. Let's check this scene out.
Here.
John Voight just sounds so evil, doesn't he?
This is Colonel DeMockel.
I just hear.
DeMockel.
I just heard some troubling news, Colonel.
Colonel DeMockel.
The crew numbers are still coming up a little short. I want you to know my offer stands. I've got personnel standing by right.
Have you ever
the
seen Enemy of the State? I'm playing that character again.
That won't be necessary.
Oh? Do some thinking now, Colonel. I'm offering you professional soldiers, not children yet you haven't had time to train.
You provided the weapons. We will fight our own
war. We have plenty of kids in Africa.
It's your country.
We're using your daughter's children.
Is there anything else, Mr. Hodges?
Yeah.
I'd like to invite you over for dinner.
General Juma, give me a call when he gets there, will you?
I'll let him know.
Good.
Whenever I see anything on TV where someone has a satellite phone, I want one.
So do I. I was like, what? That's something cool. That's really special. I wonder what the service is like.
I know. It's basically you can call on the phone anywhere in the world is what I'm thinking, right? You can be in the middle of the jungle.
Can you only call other satellite phones, or can you call any?
See, I don't know, because he's on a satellite phone, too. And he tells his little Weasley male secretary, he's like, make sure no one...
Okay, what I don't understand is why are the evil people using satellite phones and Jack Bauer and Begbie can use Nextel Sprint phones?
I know, and the reason we know they're Nextel Sprint phones is because emblazoned on the phones is this big logo that says Sprint. I don't know about you, but if I bought a phone that had that, I would like tear off the sticker the day I got it. Like, this is just tacky looking. There's even one split screen where Robert Carlyle's talking on his phone. The front of it says Sprint, and the split screen cuts over to the other side of the phone, and you see Nextel. So you see both sides of his phone in one shot. I thought it was hilarious.
They've got both names of the company covered.
So he called John Voight. He's there with some where were they? Some bank or something? Something to do with
some stock brokerage or money managers.
Yeah, so he calls in Chris, like, Chris, I need to see you in here. And they cut to Chris, and he's like some Weasley guy. He's popping pills.
He's literally, he's a beanpole. He's got no features whatsoever. He's just a skinny dude.
He's like, I'll be right there. And when he shows up in there, he sees John Voight coming out, and he's like, who's this guy? He was this
God, big... that guy throws off such an evil air.
He's got an evil vibe. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. So you know something's going on with that, but I'm sure it'll cut back to it later in the middle of a firefight when we're more interested in something else. So cut to Jack. You know what? Actually, I skipped over the introduction of Jack. They showed little Willie, this little boy Willie, going through Jack's bag. And he's like, steals his knife, and he's got this
little... He's a klepto.
He's got a scarf, and Jack shows up, and he's like, what are you doing in my bag? And there's this weird scene where he's like, I got this scarf from my daughter. I wanted to give it to her one day. You can have it.
It's beautiful. Where did you get it?
It's like India. Yeah, you can have it. But give me my knife back. But Carl, he walks up to Jack and he's like, you should really take a look at this. And this is a very tender scene between Jack and Carl. Let's check it out.
I think you should take a look at this.
I don't need to. I know what it says.
I talk under my breath a lot.
Don't worry, Carl. I'll be gone by dark.
I'm not asking you to leave, Jack. I'm asking you to have a conversation. Trammell says the subpoena's been chasing you for over a year now. It's gonna catch up with you sometime.
I'm not going back.
not saying you should. But a year's a long time to spend looking over your shoulder. A lifetime of that's going to drive you out of your mind.
Carl is so filled with wisdom, isn't he?
Really is. He's the wise American with a Scottish accent.
What kind of freedom's this, Jack? You're running away.
What do you want from me, Carl?
Whoa.
Trust me, Jack.
You don't snap at a friend like that.
When you called me,
Jack immediately says, sorry.
Sorry.
I hoped you were maybe looking for something more than just a place to stay.
I didn't mean to get hot, Carl.
Trying to find a way to make some sense of it. It's a normal impulse. Especially for people like us.
Yeah, except you found what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Carl!
I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
For me.
It's almost like he insulted Carl there, like, you found what you're looking for, the simple life.
It took a long time.
We're really acting the shit out of the scene, Jack.
I'm simple, Carl. I'm complicated.
Don't worry about
that. I love the scene. They're just chilling in the sunlight. It was kind of like,
I appreciate what you're trying to do, Carl.
We're really acting here, aren't we?
Look, I'll let it become yours.
It should their old friends.
He's always out of breath. What is he doing that he's so out of breath? Is he that out of shape?
The school is worth protecting, Carl.
I can't hear you, Jack.
It'd be better for everyone if I...
Stop talking under your breath. So, Jack, he's determined to leave. And he takes off with his backpack. But not before Carl. It turns out that Willie's brother, Desmond, went to play soccer in town. And,
How dare he?
Desmond's playing soccer with his other kid, and they're having fun, and all of a sudden a Jeep drives up with DeMarco, I guess. DeMarco's brother and some other thugs, and they round him up to join the army. And do you like that scene where the little kid's crying, and he's like, are you a baby? Are you a baby?
That scene is in every movie with an African conflict.
And they're like, no, I'm a man. He's like, no, you're a man as soon as you get an AK-47. I guess.
Let me kill the cockroach.
But could you believe the two kids, Desmond and the other kid, run away and they shoot them in the back? I was like, dude, hardcore, man. The guy's like, dude, hold your fire. We need these soldiers. These little kids.
We were sent to get these kids, not kill them.
Jackass. He's like, my bad. So, Carl Benton, Bigby, he went to go look for them.
Thank you.
And there's a buzzard already eating on one of the kids. What was that shit about?
Hey, man, them little African children are good eating.
Poor kid, and Desmond's out in a stream or something. So here's the dramatic part where he calls Jack to tell him that the troops, Juma's troops, are on the way, and they talk on Sprint phones. Let's check this out. And the best part about this whole thing, though, seriously, was when Jack goes up to the guy from the UN who's working there at the school, and they made him to be the biggest pussy, the biggest spineless jerk there was. I love this. Let's check it out.
He goes, you can hide with the children.
Yeah, he goes, why don't you go with the children? With the other children, because he's basically
calling
with
them. The other children. That was like a little extra zing there.
It's like, whoa, zing! All right, let's check this out.
They're coming for the boys, Jack. You got to get them into the shelter. Thomas knows where it is.
How many guns are coming?
Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. You have to hold them up till I get there.
Jack, can you believe the signal? We're getting on these Sprint phones.
I've been trying. I can't get through.
Don't have to.
Jack, go into my room. You'll find what you need in a locker under my sink. The key's on top of the cupboard. Don't let them take my key.
You know, when he said that, I pictured sniper rifle, auto shotgun.
Everybody!
Yeah. Like,
everybody, I want you to listen! I want you to go to the shelter with Thomas. He's going to take you there now. Go!
What's going on?
I don't have time to explain. Just go with Thomas and ring the bell. Now!
Ring the bell!
Juma's men are coming. Do you have a weapon?
How do you know this isn't just another rumor?
You have a weapon or not?
It's not a rumor, you human guy.
They were listening to me.
Xavier,
that's your rumor.
They are coming. Two of our boys have already been shot.
The United Nations remains neutral in this matter.
Still want to talk to them? I didn't think so. Why don't you go hide in the shelter with the other children?
Oh! Ah, he called you out, buddy. And all
how dare you call me a child?
All the kids are getting in there. Didn't you love that? All the kids are getting in the shelter. And he's like, wait, hold on for me. And he goes in there.
Don't close that door!
He's like, So then the guys show up, and Jack, he's chunking dynamite sticks everywhere.
Yeah, that was in the trunk. Two Glocks and like four sticks of dynamite. It's like, oh, thanks.
Robert Carlyle tucked this away. You never know when I'll need this. It's like, isn't dynamite, it needs to be rotated over time? It can't just be stashed in a box like that, I don't think.
Well, I think that he had, like, those little silicone packets that wick away moisture.
Oh, yeah, that silica stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
So, Jack, he's killing guys left and right. They've got a 50 cal on him as he's running. And he's running.
Bull Bear 50 cal.
Yeah, what was that about? I need one of those, man, on my car. That would be awesome. And then he's got an RPG guy. My favorite kill, though, was when the guy comes around the corner and he jams a knife right in his chest. He's like, wasn't that awesome?
Take that! I don't even need a knife!
I don't need guns. And that's another thing. Okay, he has pistols. I swear he fires like three times each pistol and throws it on the ground. It's like, did Robert Carlyle just have three bullets in each gun or something?
They're there, and he just doesn't need them that much.
He couldn't have kept a box
of
ammo.
He fires off a couple rounds and goes, there's something better down the line here.
So another thing is, why didn't Jack pick up their AK-47s after he kills the guys? I wondered that, too.
Because they were tainted by evil African Juma.
Yeah, they're bad guy guns, right? He doesn't want those.
Yeah.
So naturally, they catch Jack. We know that's got to happen.
Yeah, it's got to happen once in at least every version of 24.
And Robert Carlyle shows up, and he's watching from the distance with his binoculars. He sees Jack being tortured. And let's just look at this.
Oh!
I love this scene. The bad guy, he heats up a machete and burns Jack on the ear with it. Let's check this out.
Oh! I'm running out of ways to ask a question. Where?
You could try nicely.
You're wasting your time. They're not going to find anything. I already told you they're not here.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. If you want to find soldiers for your army, you're going to have to look somewhere else.
Where? And the children.
I don't know.
They're...
Oh.
That had her.
Keep doing this until you beg me to kill you. But I won't kill you even then.
What a jerk.
Until you tell me.
I'll do it till you tell me to kill you, but I'm not going to kill you.
I'll show you where the kids are.
Tell me.
I need to show you. They're in an undercurrent.
I'm trying, you mad.
No. You will tell me where this shelter is.
About 200 meters up the foot.
Oh, Jack's broken. He broke him.
There's one hatch on the mountain. Please.
Get the children. I'll stay here with him. Don't worry. Once I have these children, I will kill you quickly.
Oh, my God.
But I just told you where they were.
I love how he says that. Please.
Ease.
He's like, Jack's like, I'll make him think he broke me, and then I'll snap his neck as soon as I get the chance. But how great was that ear sizzle? I mean, that machete.
That was delicious.
That machete had to have been hot as hell, man. Just like.
Yum.
God, that was sick, man. Totally sick.
Like a piece of cockroach!
Yes.
He's a cockroach.
I get to believe it's a cockroach.
So remember that weenie Chris? He shows up.
Chris.
He shows up to Roger, who is the son of the new elect President Taylor.
President elect Taylor?
And the scene. Yeah, and the scene opens up with Roger's. Was it his girlfriend or his wife?
I don't know, but it's Carly Pope, and she's pretty hot.
She's pulling her stockings on. She's in lingerie.
She's got that beautiful lingerie showing off her cleavage.
Yeah, and we were talking about this, how like every TV show now, the way they titillate the audience is always show a woman getting dressed in her underwear.
Yeah.
That's the most they can do on TV. But
she's got her leg up on the bed, pulling up her stockings.
And the guy's like, hey, I think we have time for one more.
I mean, what? She doesn't... It's like, what, that's what she wears to an inauguration? She, like, a bra and panties isn't enough. She's got to...
Yeah, full
a lingerie teddy and
yeah, full decked out Fredericks of Hollywood. Yeah. And I love her boyfriend Roger, or husband, I don't know. The story, they didn't take the time to even tell us this, but
it's Raj, the Raj, that's what they called him. And
yeah, it's the Raj, and he's like, hey, I think we have one more. We have enough time for one more. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, baby.
And she's like, let's no, we need to get ready. Meanwhile, a phone call interrupts everything. The dude's about to get laid, and it's Chris. He's like, Roger, I need you to help me with something. I'm in trouble. And I love that dude Chris's whiny voice. Here's a scene where Chris tells Roger everything he's done. And it sounds like the worst idea. As soon as he told you that I downloaded these secret files to my own private hard drive, did you know he'll be dead within 5 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's check this out.
All right, you got 5 minutes to talk fast. Okay. A couple months ago, Nichols calls me into his office, says he wants me to manage a special project.
Special project?
Yeah, that's what he calls it. He says that he knows that I've taken some serious hits in the stock market. And he's going to give me a chance to recover my losses. I mean, the money he paid me. Raj, it was crazy. All I had to do was keep my mouth shut.
What do you have you do, Chris?
You know, open a few offshore accounts, move a bunch of money in and out, that type of thing.
So you help Nichols embezzle money from his own firm?
Yeah, that's what I thought I was doing at first. But Raj, 3 days ago, recognize the prefix on one of the accounts. It's something the Justice Department has red flagged for traitors to report. Okay, so do a little digging. And turns out that the account holder is on the terrorist watch list. I know it's crazy,
God.
And it's all getting a little too weird for me this morning. There
such
was
a weasel.
Guy in Nichols' office who... Look, I don't know what he's doing.
John Voight was there.
I don't have anything to do with it.
Roger. Oh, my God.
I'm willing to turn the state's evidence.
Yeah. Good. You should go to the FBI.
Man, I was just thinking that... I could probably cut a much better deal if we take this directly to your mother, you know.
You want my mother to clean up your mess?
I like the way he snorted before that. Like, high or something.
I don't know, Raj. How about...
Whoa, Chris is getting
I'm
attitude.
Sorry to hear that you're in trouble, Chris, but you're a friend of mine, and I'm going to do whatever I can do to help you out.
Oh. Well, that makes sense.
It's like, get out, Chris. I was about to get laid
even
before he showed up.
Don't you see Nichols Carly Pope is here?
Some records. I didn't do it. I sent them to my hard drive at home instead.
Oh, bad idea.
Coded, but, you know, they're probably traceable.
They're probably traceable. Yeah, really smart idea, guy. And I love when he goes home. He's kind of chilling out. He's looking at his computer, and he hears, like, a thump in the other room.
Check his day trading.
He's got his pills. He decides, no, I'm not going to take my pills right now.
I need to be sharp right now. I can't quite take the pills just yet.
Yeah, and in reality, he probably should have taken him because he's about to be tortured.
Yeah.
He goes in the other room.
Well, that's how it happens sometimes.
He comes back in his room, and there's a guy on his computer. He goes, are these all the files? Tell me, did you put them anywhere else? And he's got a gun sitting next to him. So we know that Chris is screwed, and sodium pentothal or something they injected into him. Where did you send these files? And who knows, basically we know when the new season starts that the president's son will have these files in his email or something.
Yes. So that the president's son is a crook.
Yeah, so we'll find out something like that. And also they set up that the president's son, Roger, his Secret Service agent guy is also a crooked guy. Because they show him talking to John Voight. He's like, he doesn't know anything. All he knows is his friend's a jackass, and he came and told him wild stories. So there's that. Now, cut back to Africa, Bill, and...
About time.
They've got the kids. They're all on a school bus, and they got a walkie-talkie so they can hear everything the bad guys are hearing. And General Juma shows up, and hey, it's Tony Todd, the Candyman!
Yeah.
I love that, and he's like, I need you with me, DeMarco. And he just finds out, DeMarco finds out that his brother has got his neck snapped by Jack Bauer, so he's really pissed off. He's like, I need to avenge my brother! So he lets him, and they're driving away after the school bus. And I love, there's a part where he calls the Gil Bellows character, and he won't help him at all. He goes, you got to get here on your own. Sorry, we're not sending Chopper or any Marines or anything. You're just screwed or whatever. So they cut to the scene later. They pull over the bus because they know that the bad guys are on the road and they're walking through the jungle. And
we've got to get this bus off the road. Let's drive it into the woods.
And I have no idea why this happened, but all of a sudden, Robert Carlyle's character goes, "Okay, Jack, you got us this far. I think you can go now." It's like, what?
Yeah.
Well, where?
You've been used to your full potential.
Are you guys not in danger anymore? Did something happen that I don't understand? He's like, "All right, Carl, you're always a good friend. See you later." So he's walking away like about 10 feet in here. It's like, helicopter, everybody run! So they're running away from the helicopters. I just love that. It's like, why did you determine now it's time for Jack to leave? Like, he could find an easier route by himself to get away or something. And he's got the
He doesn't need those kids holding him back.
And why does he have this shitty bolt-action rifle the whole time? Why didn't they pick up any of the AK-47s of all the dead soldiers? I don't understand.
Because, you know, AKs are filthy. They're filthy, dirty weapons.
And cut to cute little Willie. Remember that they've determined that Jack gave him a scarf.
A little African boy that might be gay.
I think they determined that he'll never make it in the army.
But his scarf is lovely.
He's a little sissy boy. And he's walking along and he realizes his scarf got snagged on a branch. So he's like, "Oh, my scarf, I need to get my scarf." And Robert Carlyle's like, "Holy shit, there's a friggin' landmine right there next to your scarf." And he tries to push him away. And Robert Carlyle steps on the landmine. And he's like, "Jack, I can't move. Just take the kids and go." And here's this very tender, tender scene. It's just really sad. And during this whole thing, the troops are getting closer and closer. And he's like, "Don't worry, Jack. I'll hold them off." It's very brutal. Let's check it out.
"It's all right, Jack. I can die like this. Just take the kids to the embassy. Make sure they're safe."
"Carl, don't do this.
Shh, 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 shh. Take these.
Rain face.
Papers. Sponsorship papers. Give them the trouble. Please, Jack. Please.
Give me the rifle.
I'm going to buy you some time, Jack. Maybe more."
It's the score from The Passion of the Christ.
"Thanks for being on the show, Robert Carlyle. I know you just do films usually. It's not the problem,
Go ahead
Kiefer.
With Jack. I'll be right behind.
Mr. Benton!
I'll catch up.
I'm going to die. Yeah, I'm going to die because of you, Willie. Enjoy your scarf, you little bastard." Oh, yeah, we missed that part.
"Where's your friend?"
"Which one?"
Oh, that's quite a question to get wrong, isn't it? What a penalty you play.
"Where is he?"
"Who now?"
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"Willie, I'm looking for Willie."
Oh, it's kind of, questions are really hard.
Oh, all right. Son of a bitch.
"All right."
And I did love this idea of he'll use the landmine to get the guys closer and closer and then take them all out at the same time.
"Move in a little closer."
"What do you see?"
"What do you say?
He's taking him. Come on.
Bring him to me."
All of a sudden, you've turned into Ozzy Osbourne.
"What country are you from?"
I think he literally sent them to hell.
And special guest, Robert Carlyle is dead! And I love it. Cuts to Kiefer. He hears the boom and he stops in his tracks. You immediately see the tears well up in his eyes. And he's fighting the urge to turn around and run to check on him. And he's just got to keep moving forward.
Like, I might as well not check on him since he's bits.
Yeah, he's just gonna. I don't want to go see pieces of my friend everywhere.
He's been fragged.
But I mean, the guy asks you, "Who's your friend?" You would think that you could get in one like snarky comment, but the dude just has no patience, does he? I mean, my god,
they're your worst nightmare.
"Where's your friend?"
"Which one?"
Oh. Any more smart-ass answers? Good lord, man. That was brutal.
Good hell.
There were some good booms on this for a TV movie, weren't there?
There was.
I like that.
The first car explosion from the dynamite. That car must have had a full tank of gas. Even though it was
I know. It was like, bro!
It had no wheels on it. It was just rusted out.
And this actually filmed in Africa, right? Like, I heard
it would have had to have.
They actually went to Africa. But technically, couldn't they have filmed this in, like, Utah or something? No,
they
not
could have
Utah.
Filmed it in Death Valley.
Just in the woods somewhere.
It was probably less expensive to film it in Africa than it was in the United States.
But, I mean, couldn't we have seen some zebras run by or something? I mean, come on.
Yeah, something, or a lion. Maybe Jack could have confronted a lion, much like his daughter confronted a mountain lion.
Yeah, but how cool would this have been? Jack mounts a lion. He's riding on it bareback.
Or a water buffalo.
Yeah, how cool would that be? Or he uses, like, a crocodile to throw at a bad guy or something.
Or he jumps into that YouTube video of the standoff with the lions and the water buffaloes and the alligators.
That. Yeah, how cool would it be if he held a bad guy's head underwater like he's drowning, and all of a sudden a crocodile goes and bites his head
off? There's so much more that could have been done in this.
I know. The storyline seemed really rushed, didn't it?
It was lame. It was lame.
And I really like the Robert Carlyle character. I like that actor. Keep him around for the season. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
We get the idea.
I need more of his faux American accent.
It's like, where are you from? Just tell me that! That's what I would have been like. I would have had a gun on him and go, dude, where are you from?
Where's your friend?
No, where are you from? Tell me.
What?
I just would have shot him repeatedly until he told me. Because he's just a cockroach, right?
Cockroach!
Like a Mr. Cockroach!
He's a cockroach!
Kill the cockroach! Kill the cockroach! Kill the cockroach!
Kill the cockroach! They really hate bugs in Africa, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
They just detest the bugs.
You know what? You're right. There was absolutely no African wildlife.
It's like, come on.
What the hell?
You went to Africa to film this. Show us some scenic backdrop.
Film it, you know, a nature reserve or something.
But I just love that scene where Jack is standing there silently when his friend dies. All right, Jack. And action. Keeper. Emote.
That was the Emmy scene.
Yeah, that was really good.
And your favorite word?
I just hope that Willie enjoys the shit out of that scarf because...
Oh, yeah.
Because Benton died for your stupid scarf, you jackass. And you know, I almost thought that when he goes, no, Willie, come here! If he would have just let Willie walk back, he would have been fine. But he ran over there to keep him from stepping on a mine and ended up stepping on one. He probably would have made it back okay had he not even intervened. You know?
Well, I think he realized what was going on. I mean, it was bad enough that they had to show the scene of Willie leaving his footprints in the sand.
Right.
Like, that's like Jesus. But it's just, I don't know, this entire thing was like, why? It should have been 24. Why?
And then after all of this, they cut back to the friggin' Washington stuff. Like, we even care anymore.
Yeah.
And it shows
that... Well, they've got to set up season 7.
It shows that, basically, we didn't really talk about this, but Powers Booth's character has determined just to cut and run out of the embassy. He's not going to help anyone there. He's just an asshole president. He's just going to cut his losses in Africa and get out of there.
I've had enough of this shit. It's time to get my facial.
Yeah, the evil General Juma. And I love the female president. She's like, what an asshole. But isn't she going to get the job in, like, a couple of hours? Couldn't she go and just instantly reverse everything?
Yeah, sure.
But here's the best part. They show up into the marketplace in downtown Africa, I guess. Downtown Singala. Hustling, bustling city it is.
I don't even think there is a Singala, Africa.
What about...
It's made up.
Oh, yeah. It's totally made up. But I love the part. They're all walking. They're nearing the embassy. And Jack's like... Oh, I love... Willie goes... Wait, where's Mr. Benton? And the older guy, he's like, he's dead. He's dead, you stupid moron. He's like, no. And he runs away.
You killed him with your stupid scarf.
And he's like crying. And Jack's like, no, it's all right, Willie. He wanted you to have that scarf. He died so
it's
you
okay.
can...
Willie, come to America with me.
If you come to America with me, you'll see that we have better toys than scarves.
Your immortal brother Desmond, who can... bleed out and still survive a gunshot.
He's taking a freaking gunshot wound and been walking for hours. He's been on.
What's funny is that the Begbie finds him and he's basically in shock. And then he puts him in a car and he's not in shock anymore. And then he can walk.
What I think
and
was
then
a, he just
going
needed,
back in shock.
He just needed a little nap, and now he's,
oh, okay. Oh, I'm good to go, guys. All right. He's told him not to fall asleep.
I know, and I love this firefight. Jack sees a black dude in a trench coat, and he's like, "Something's amiss here."
Yeah. There's all everybody's walking one way, and there's one guy in a black trench coat walking the other.
And I love like the bad guys start firing. What does Jack do? Ducks under here, a hood of a car, good placement. And there's a part where he hides behind like a call box or something.
No, he actually hid in a fridge, like Indiana Jones.
Oh, is that a refrigerator?
That was an abandoned, rusted out.
Refrigerator. Oh, you're right. I love how he nonchalantly opens the door a little bit. For a shield, that was awesome.
It's a nonchalant shield. Like, I don't really need this, but since it's here, I'll use it.
So he kills all the bad guys, but wait, there's one more kid left. It's the Kill the Cockroach kid from the opening shot of the show. Let's check this out. Oh my God, it's quite a shootout.
Kill the cockroach.
Oh.
Kill the cockroach.
Would you call me kid?
Young man.
Willie, wait, Willie.
I know you're scared.
Kid can barely hold that gun.
Yeah.
Just put the gun down now.
Willie.
You see those boys? They're just like you. I'm trying to get them out of the country, somewhere safe.
They're not like me. They kill cockroaches.
Come with us. Just put the gun down.
We have a cockroach farm. We don't kill them where we are.
Just like me.
Where we live.
See? It's going down.
Much like a roach motel. It's a cockroach hotel.
How could he have taken that kid with him? He doesn't have his papers.
Yeah, exactly. What happened? The kid gets to America and they're like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. We're going to have to deport you.
They would have turned him away at the gate.
Yeah. I don't think Gil Bellows checked all those papers.
I know. Oh, I love...
Best part is the African woman... With the kid going, I'll do anything to get out.
Yeah.
Anything.
Wouldn't it have been great if they showed how weaselly he was and he would have been like, okay. And he lets her in.
Should have used her for sex and then not let her out.
Yeah, well, then later on they're like, hey, we got Jack Bauer at the gate. And he's like, all right. And they show him zipping up his fly and the lady coming out of the room behind him. Is just like, oh, what a scumbag.
In her mouth or something.
Yeah, that would have been horrible.
Horrible.
She's like, sweaty American, but I did what I had to do. But, and then it cuts, they keep cutting back to the president and her inauguration. It's like the dullest speech I've ever heard in my life. Like, America, you must rise to the occasion.
You must kill the cockroach.
That would have been great. She starts the same speech.
Kill the cockroach. Kill the cockroach.
Kill the cockroach. They're all chanting it in Washington. That would have been awesome. Kill the cockroach.
Like it is a cockroach.
That's right. And John Voight's there talking to Roger's agent guy, Secret Service agent.
No, so, like, we're so clever.
How many secret bad guys are in Washington in this thing?
How many secret bad guys have been in 24?
I know. One thing
you
I
would think that one season they would go, you know, secret bad guy stuff, let's try something else.
Did you love that there was no CTU, though?
Oh, God, yeah. And no this... Chloe.
Yeah, there's
no rerouting the subsystems.
There was nothing like that. Jack, he was in Africa. He didn't have any use for... a computer or a PDA.
Oh, that was nice.
Route the footage to my PDA. There was
and,
none of that shit.
Peter Nichol was only in it for like a split second.
Yeah. That guy, he's been... he's got a guest house out of 24 in his career. So let's cut to... Jack shows up at the embassy with all the kids and the evil bureaucrat, Gil Bellows, won't let him in. Let's check this out.
Listen to me. I've got 14 children seeking political asylum. All of them are R1 status. One of them needs urgent medical care.
Where's Francis?
He's dead. Wait. I've got their paperwork.
Show me.
Oh, he takes forever to look at that paperwork. It's like taking his sweet time.
Stay with me. Come on.
Come on, look it over. Come on.
Dad,
trying to get to the Hotel Fonda.
They appear to be in order.
London, open the gate. Let him in.
There's just one small problem. They need the legal guardianship of a U.S. citizen.
Guardianship, I already told you. Benton is dead. He died getting these children here.
Then don't let him have died in vain. Surrender yourself to the subpoena, and the ambassador will waive the issue of guardianship.
Bill, I am warning you. Leave me out of this.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
We are talking about innocent children.
This is all on you.
You would really leave these children out here in the street knowing what you do about Juma? Damn it, Frank. They will be used as cannon fodder. Or slaughtered in the soccer stadium for entertainment.
I am giving you
that
the
sounds like fun.
To make sure that doesn't happen.
Kill the cockroach.
Yours.
That was quite possibly one of the worst written and delivered lines I've ever heard.
What about the soccer stadium?
Yeah, that was bad.
Cannon fodder in.
Killed for entertainment.
No. You went first, Bauer.
Didn't you think he was going to screw Jack out of the kids? Buddy. Like,
it's all right. Totally. All right.
Yeah, come on in, Jack. Then we'll let the kids in.
Let them in. Let them in. Bear with me. Let them in. Damn it.
The others are surrounded by zombies, aren't they?
And going back to the Passion of the Christ score. What if they hired John Debney?
It's all right, Willie. Let's go with them.
Willie, get your scarf. Come on, we're going to America. I would have loved it if they cut to Willie and he put the scarf over his head like a girl. Like, he's like, I'm going to America. They accept people like me.
And then he got a
bullet
to the head.
Willie!
Good old Desmond. He survived the whole show.
And then Jack Bauer could be happy because now he could actually give the scarf to his daughter, even though it's tainted with Willie's blood.
But isn't the whole point to this entire movie is this?
We are talking about innocent children.
That's it. That's what the whole movie's about.
We're talking about peace, love, and understanding.
Oh my
and
god.
Cockroaches.
I just love the way Kiefer, when he gets mad and he starts yelling, I love that.
Damn it, Frank!
I think this is quite possibly the best 24 Christmas episode ever.
The holiday Thanksgiving episode of 24.
It's the 24 holiday special.
I'm thankful for innocent children.
We are talking about innocent children.
Bob Geldof presents 24, the Christmas special. There won't be snow in Africa.
Please. So then it ends with the president being sworn in while cutting to the embassy being overrun by people. Did you like that? They cut back and forth to America.
They're storming the gates.
They're storming to the last helicopter leaving.
No, don't leave without us. It was like Africans.
It was like zombies pouring into the mall in Dawn of the Dead. It was awesome.
They're coming up Resident Evil 5 in Africa.
Yeah, exactly. That's what this leads into. I love it, man.
We are talking about innocent children.
Exactly.
That's so Emmy-worthy.
And while the president's talking about freedom, they cut to the little boys with their AK-47s being taught how to fire.
And then they cut to... what's his name in the Gladiator Stadium saying, now we are free.
Oh, and it cuts to my favorite cutaway was the guy Chris dead and having cement dumped on him.
Yes, by the guy from General Hospital.
Yeah, he's a
Scottish guy from General Hospital. He was also Wolfgar in Beowulf.
Nice. So basically whoever works at this new office building doesn't realize Chris is underneath the front entrance dead.
Well, I don't think that he's so skinny and
he fit right
small
in there.
I don't think they'd ever realize it.
They killed the cockroach, and that was Chris.
Why must they always put dead bodies in cement?
Alright, guys, we know, kill the cockroach. But so, okay, 24 Redemption's over, and they show scenes to next season. Looks like Jack, he goes to a hearing. Whatever, in the Senate, whatever's going on there. Obviously, he gets his job back, right? Or does he get a job with the Secret Service? I don't know what's going on.
He's Super Jack.
Super Jack. And did you see who the bad guy is next season?
The doppelganger of Tony Almeida.
Yeah, Tony Almeida is back.
I'm still saying it's not Tony Almeida. It's like his evil twin.
That would be so bad. But the I wouldn't soul pass 24.
Back.
Yeah, I wouldn't pass put it past 24. But I can't wait. I love just watching the show and making fun of it. And I also love the action. I love when Jack's just plugging guys, just wasting guys, snapping necks, stabbing them.
That's the best part. I mean, that's it. That's 24.
I'm trying to remember if it was season 2 or 3 where it was, like, unbelievable. Like, at the end of the season, he killed, like, over 500 people. And it's supposed
the body count.
And it's supposed to be 24 hours. So you're like, dude, he killed, like, 500 people in a 24-hour period. This guy's killed more people in one day, I think. He's got the record over everyone. Maybe a nuclear bomb has it over Jack Bauer, but Jack...
I don't know.
He might have killed more...
I think Jack Bauer could actually kill more people than the nuclear bomb.
Over time. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, a nuclear blast has, you know, the initial blast and then the fallout, but I think Jack Bauer is actually more powerful than a nuclear fallout.
Probably. I mean, it takes him 24 hours to get around to it, but he could kill a lot of people.
He killed over 500 people in 24 hours. I mean,
come on, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
But if anyone ever asked
him... If he wasn't an officer of the law, he would be, like, the world's greatest serial killer.
Yeah. I want to see him on Dexter. I'm pretty sure he could take Dexter out, though.
Oh, he could kick Dexter's ass. He's like, code, I don't need any code.
And you wouldn't want to be the friends with Jack either, because when people ask you, they have no patience.
Where's your friend?
No. Which one?
Oh! That's a
son
painful
of a bit.
Gunshot.
Good hell.
Awesome. All right.
I bet he even survived that.
Robert Carl is going to show up in stitches.
Gunshots.
Don't you want to see him like Jigsaw next season? He's all sewn back together.
Oh, rock.
That would totally...
And then he uses a puppet.
That would be so wicked. But 24 Redemption, hey, that's our show, pretty much. We covered everything as far as I know.
Yeah.
We didn't really get into the president stuff that much because it bored the living crap out of me.
If there's one thing the 24 writers can't do in general is write, but also they can't write... political stuff. They're just not good at it. They're not good at intrigue.
They've always got to be like, is the president good? Is he bad? Who in the president's staff is bad? Who in CTU
don't
is
even
a mole?
They just write it as it goes along.
And they always do, not only do they do the mole in CTU, they also do the someone being manipulated, blackmailed into doing something bad, but really they're good. They just have to do it because they're holding their family ransom or some shit like that. They always do that also.
I blame the guys that write all the episodes, Joel Surnow and Robert Cochran. They're terrible. If they used, like, their, they've got a pretty good stable of writers. Like, I mean, they use David Fury, and, I mean, it should be good. I know David Fury wrote a lot of Season 7, so...
You know, the one thing is, I think they filmed the show right. I like the split-screen stuff. I love the action. I always think they do action. They make it a lot of fun.
Yeah, sure.
It's just, I mean, 7 seasons... Maybe they'll give us something cool this season.
I hope so.
Because I really enjoy watching the show, and it's basically like just a fun entertainment for an hour, you know? And last season, was it last season that was really bad? It was like the worst 24
seasons. Last season was pretty terrible.
Yeah, and I just wanted to get better. And I'm just hoping that we'll get... you know, some fun out of it, because that's what 24 is about. And
yeah, last season it went from fun to ridicule.
I've got a new ringtone also, Bill.
Oh. Nice!
Hey, a CTU phone ring, huh?
Want that.
I'm totally putting that on my phone.
Yeah, I want that. It's going on my phone.
But, hey, thank you for spending the time listening to Nowhere in Bulberry, and I hope you enjoyed our 24 Redemption show. And let's go out and watch some more 24, Bill.
Yeah!
Let's watch it again! Yeah!
Kill the cockroach!
Kill the cockroach! Hell yeah! Let's all chant!
Kill the cockroach!
Kill the cockroach! Kill the cockroach! Hell yeah! And also remember to thank Susan, right? Oh, that's another thing. Didn't we think they were going to explain who Susan was on this movie?
I think they are this year. I think that's actually who's behind Tony Almeida, Susan.
They never told us, man.
I want you to say thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
Exactly. Maybe one way.
Excellent line read.
Like a piece of cockroach.
All right, well, that's the show, everybody. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Susan.